Thanks so much. I'm going to keep that passage open before you. Fruitful followers, the prayer, the fruit of audacious prayer, let me pray for us as we start. Lord, we do need to grow in our prayer lives, in our dependence upon you. So Lord, teach us and encourage us to pray through this passage this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as a child growing up, you witness all sorts of things, don't you? You see your parents doing things, and you want to learn how to do it like they did it. So take, for example, my mother's chocolate cake. Before I went to university, I didn't want to live without my mother's chocolate cake. So I said, Mum, teach me how to make your chocolate cake. And she taught me. When I got married, I had my first house. I said to my dad, Dad, do come round and bring your drill with you. And come and build everything and drill for me and teach me. And now, friends, I can use a drill. Yes, I can. That thing has just kind of happened around me growing up. But suddenly, as I grew up, I knew I needed to learn. Teach me. Chocolate cake. Drilling holes. Teach me. And my parents graciously did. Well, the disciples of Jesus are like sponges. They are following Jesus. And they want to learn from him and become more like him. And they've often seen him going to pray. He just keeps popping off the whole time to pray. Without that fellowship, that relationship with the Father, Jesus cannot function. And as they watch him going to pray, one of them comes out with a question in verse 1. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. It's a great question, isn't it? We all need to hear the answer again and again. Because we know that we so easily do not pray. We need to say, Lord, grow me as a fruitful follower of Jesus. Let me become like him in his prayers. The fruit, as we'll see, of audacious, bold prayer. The fruit of dependence upon God. These are familiar verses, but they really pack a punch. I need to hear them. We need to hear them because I'm slow to depend on the Lord. I'm slow to prayer. I need to align my prayer with what Jesus teaches me on how to pray. We need to say, don't we? Lord, teach us to pray and keep on teaching us. Two simple questions for us this morning as we look at these verses. Verses 1 to 4, what to pray. Verses 5 to 13, how to pray. And we're going to look at a little surprise that comes in verse 13, right at the end. So, what to pray? What to pray? Verses 1 to 4. And actually, I heard a great little structure for this that will help us to look at the way that Luke records the Lord's Prayer. And it's basically around the numbers 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. One title, two requests about God, three requests for us. Firstly, one title, Father. Father. You know, in life, it's often true, isn't it? The more important someone is, the more unavailable they are. I've been writing letters to the Archbishop of Canterbury for months, and I can't get near him. I get letters from his correspondents, his PR. I never get through to Justin. The more important you are, the harder it is to reach you. When you're at the top, it's hard to get near you. You're surrounded by correspondents and PAs and people. But look at this prayer from Jesus. Jesus says we can go straight to the throne room of heaven and cry out to God and call him Father. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus makes the way for his Father, to be our God. Through faith in the Son of God, we become part of the family of God. We're adopted, a family member, beloved and precious. And we can boldly approach the throne room of grace and cry out, Father. It was a familiar scene when the kids were little that during the night a shadow would appear at the door sobbing. And they would dive into bed under the duvet between Jenny and myself. And of course, they'd always snuggle up with Jenny because she didn't smell. And I'd be on the edge of my bed. But actually, they were so welcome. Those are warm. While we were exhausted, we just said, just get in. We need to sleep. It was a warm welcome for our kids. They could come in to that place of comfort and welcome and safety. Well, everyone who trusts in Jesus can come to a place of comfort and welcome and safety in the family of God, and we can cry out, Father. What a joy that we can get together when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We can say, Our Father. The all-powerful, sovereign God is the one that you and I can call our Father. Friends, we should never lose sight of the privilege of that. The awesome opportunity to draw near to God. God as a loving, caring, welcoming Father. One title. Then there's two requests about God. See the first one that's there in verse 2. Hallowed be your name. That is the right request. That our Father will be honoured and hallowed and glorified in our lives, in our church, in our world. That he who deserves all praise and glory and honour, for he is God, will get the great praise and glory and honour that he deserves from more and more people. We say, Lord, hallowed, may your name be hallowed today in my life. May your name be hallowed in this church. May your name be hallowed in society, in government. May your name be honoured, for you are God. Hallowed be your name, we pray. And the second request, your kingdom come. That kind of works three ways, doesn't it? So your kingdom come is like an evangelistic prayer over here. We want more and more people to come to know King Jesus. Your kingdom come into more and more lives. May more people come to know you. Your kingdom come. It's also a prayer to say, Lord Jesus, your kingdom come in this world through your church. Would your church be your blessing in this world as your kingdom comes amongst us and we live for Jesus and transform society around us and transform our lives? Would your kingdom come through your church into the world? But also it's a prayer that says, your kingdom come. It means, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come back. Bring in your kingdom, your eternal kingdom, where there'll be no more tears or sorrow or pain. Come, Lord Jesus. Rebuild a new heaven and earth. Your kingdom come. One title, Father. Two requests for God. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And then three requests for us. Jesus wants us to bring our requests to him in prayer. The first one is to ask the Father for provision. That's there in verse 3. Give us each day our daily bread. That certainly involves asking for what we need. Physical needs. Food, shelter, safety, friendship, work, provision for life. Let's ask the Father for what we need. Ask me. But also it's our spiritual need. You think of the people of God in the desert, in the wilderness. Every day the Lord gave them manna to feed them. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You need me day by day. You need spiritual food. Feed on me by faith through the word. So praying for God's provision for us of what we need physically and spiritually. Give us each day our daily bread. Secondly, pardon. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. As I go on in the Christian life, I realize more and more my sinfulness. Steve Reese is a sinner. And I forget saying that in one church. He said, no, you're not. You're a lovely fellow. I said, no, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. Our greatest need is to be forgiven by God through Jesus. It's his pardon that saves us when we first come to know him. It's his ongoing fellowship and friendship that keeps us as we say, forgive me, Lord. I want to keep close to you. I want to know your forgiveness, your cleansing for that sin. I repent of it. May I know your pardon. There's nothing better than being washed by the blood of Christ. It brings relief and joy. Not condemned, forgiven, accepted, loved. Nothing like it, friends. What a relief. What a joy. And as we experience the joy of the pardon and forgiveness of God, that should overflow to others as we seek to forgive them. That's what Jesus says. Forgive us our sins, verse 4, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. That cup of forgiveness that fills our cups should pour out to others in forgiveness and pardon, becoming more like our Father. Third P, protection. Lead us not into temptation. That's the end of verse 4. Every day, friends, we live in a world full of temptations. Do you feel it? They can trip us up. They can lead us away. They can take us out. They can destroy our marriages, our families, our lives. Every day we have to battle with our own sinful nature, don't we? Stuff that comes out of our hearts and surprises. I can't believe I just thought that. And we're told that our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a ferocious wolf, ready to take us out in the spiritual battle. We are in a battle and we need to pray today, Lord Jesus, today, Father, protect me. Protect me. Lead me not into temptation. Guard me, keep me close to you, be my shield, my defender. Help me to pursue holiness for your name. Isn't this prayer just a great gift? Jesus, who enjoys a perfect relationship with the Father, says, learn from me. This is how to pray. It's the school, it's the ABC, it's the 1, 2, 3 of prayer from the master prayer, Jesus. You know, I love it when we pray together as a church family. Together we can say on a Sunday, because we're a family, Our Father. Isn't that great? But also, I love it, this prayer, that you can use it as like headings to pray around. I wonder, have you ever watched Cliff Wootton play the bass guitar? He sits at the front, possibly the coolest man in church. Sorry, Tom. But he sits there and he's got no music. He's got no music. He sits there with his bass guitar and he just riffs. He just riffs. Like that. And actually, everybody else is following the music. They're singing. They've got all their music here. But actually, what Cliff is doing is kind of just bringing the bass all around the music and the notes and the words. Why don't we learn to riff like Cliff with the Lord's Prayer? You know, take a heading and pray around. That's what I do. I start with the word Father. Father, thank you that you're my Father. What a joy to know you as my Father. Thank you for saving me through Jesus. Or I say, Lord, we've got these real needs. Give us our daily bread. We've got real needs in our family right now. Would you provide for this child or this family of him? Would you just come in, Lord Jesus, and just provide for what they need? Would we as a family, as a church, just be feeding on you? You can kind of riff like Cliff around the Lord's Prayer. Why not write down the Lord's Prayer on a prayer card and just take a phrase at a time and pray the Lord's Prayer? Because Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Learn from me. Did you ever do that? It's great. What to pray? Well, secondly, and more briefly, how to pray. I love this story that Jesus tells in verses 5 to 8 and the picture of verses 11 and 12. They're great stories that help us to see how to pray, how Jesus wants us to pray. And the big call of Jesus right in the middle of those two little pictures is in verse 9. Do you see it, what Jesus says? This is the big point. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. What a generous invitation from Jesus, the Son of God, to approach his Father. Ask, seek, knock. So often we don't ask, do we? And then we won't see God at work. He wants us, his people, to work with him in the glorious gift of prayer. He has so ordained it that he brings about his will through his people's prayer. It's a remarkable mystery and gift. But that's how the Lord has organized it. He says, ask me, seek me, knock on the door of heaven. And because he loves to answer, and friends, when we pray in line with his priorities, the hows of what to pray, and we join Jesus and say, your will be done, then we will see more and more answers to prayer. Sometimes there is a mystery, isn't there? Let's be honest. I've been praying for some things for years and see no answer, but I'm going to keep on praying. And I keep on knocking on the door of heaven. We keep asking. Sometimes we may not see the answer to our prayer in our lifetime. But we pray and we express our dependence on the Lord by praying and asking and seeking God. Well, how do we do that? I love that phrase in verse 8. With shameless audacity. That is, with boldness. Unembarrassed persistence. This guy in the story is not embarrassed, is he? See what happens in verses 5 to 8? A visitor comes late at night to stay and he needs some food. And we might be thinking this morning, why don't they wait till the morning, 8 o'clock, croissants from Lidl? Just get them then. But it wasn't like that. No 24-hour open all hours shop, no shops to go to. And when guests turned up in that culture, the way that you welcomed them was by giving them a beautiful feast. That's what you did. So what to do? Well, he knows his friend next door has got a stash of food. He keeps lots of bread. But it's the middle of the night, and his friends have kids, and they're terrible sleepers. And he's got them to sleep. And he knows that knocking on the door will cause havoc, but he just has to do it. He must provide lavishly for his guest who's just arrived. Nothing else to do. Nowhere else he can go. He knows he has to be audacious and to bang that door and shout. He walks up to the door. There's a post-it note that says, "Don't ring the bell, the kids are sleeping." What do I do? He knows his friend sleeps like a hippo. And he loves his bed. He knows it's the middle of the night, but there's nothing for it. He just has to shout out. So we get this. Imagine this scenario. Your child is really sick. And there's no mobile phones. The ambulances are on strike. All the doctors are out of town. But your neighbour is a doctor. It's the middle of the night. What do? He can't bang that door and get him up. He pushes past any sense of embarrassment in this story. Verse 5, he says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer them." And his mate says, "Go away, I'm fast asleep, the kids are in bed." But he won't give up. Shameless audacity. He keeps asking and asking and asking, till in the end his friend comes just to shut him up. So he can go back to sleep. He just gives him the bread and off he goes. Because of his shameless audacity, he gets the answer. Now, what's being commended here in this verse? God is nothing like that grumpy guy in bed. Let me just say that. But actually, we are to be like this character who persists in knocking and crying out and going to the only one who can help him in that moment. Shameless audacity. And we come to the God, Psalm 121, that says, he never sleeps or slumbers. He never is never asleep. The God who always loves to hear from us and always loves to answer our prayers and always loves us to ask and ask and ask. Persistence, shameless, boldness, unembarrassed. I'm coming to you, Father, now with these needs. Where else can I go? There's nowhere else to go but to come to you. I'm going to come in prayer now. Ask the Father. Ask the Father because of what he's like. He's a good father. Look at these characters in verses 11 and 12. That scenario. "Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead?" Imagine George asking Charlie for a fish. In fact, he says, "I want lobster thermidor." Of course. You'd give him that. Not a snake. Or if he asks for an egg, would he give him a scorpion? That's not going to happen. God loves to give good gifts to his children. Maybe we've had rubbish fathers in the past, but God is the good father who wants to give us good gifts. Now, Jesus encourages us to bold, audacious, persistent prayer. Friends, where else can we go? How to pray. Shameless audacity to a good father. Well, as we draw things to a close, I wondered, did you spot the surprising way that verse 13 finishes? Have a look at it. It says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more..." And why don't you block that off with your fingers, what it says? What would you expect to be there? "How much more will your Father in heaven maybe give good gifts to you? Or maybe do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine? Or maybe bless you in the heavenly realms with all spiritual blessings?" Well, what does Jesus say? Well, Jesus says, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" That's a surprising thing to say, isn't it? But actually, the reality is the answer to the Lord's Prayer is given as the Holy Spirit is at work The answer to the Lord's Prayer is the Holy Spirit. Just think, how else can anyone call God Father? Except for the work of the Spirit bringing new life, so we cry Abba, Father, Romans 8:15. How is the name of God to be honoured and hallowed and his kingdom come in this world except by the power and the work of the Holy Spirit? How are people ever going to be convicted of their need of Christ? They need to seek pardon and forgiveness except by the work of the Spirit. How else can we be protected in this world except for the powerful work of the Spirit as he works? The answer to the Lord's Prayer is the work of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Friend, it's by the Spirit of God at work in our lives, in our world, in our lives. He is the powerful agent at work, bringing about the requests that we bring. Such a Trinitarian passage, isn't it? Jesus, the Son. Jesus had to pray to the Father, in dependence and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can have confidence, can't we, that God will answer his prayers, the prayers we pray. When Jesus says in our verse, apart from me you can do nothing, we friends need to learn that on our knees. Let's pray for the fruit of audacious prayer to grow in our hearts. Do join us on Wednesday night for live practice, 7:30. Let me pray. Oh, Father, we rejoice that you're our Heavenly Father, all-powerful, mighty and glorious. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to bring us to know you. Thank you for the power of your Spirit that brings about these answers to prayer. Thank you for this encouragement to pray. You want us to ask and to seek and to knock. You're inviting us. Lord, help us to hear that invitation and to go from this place depending in prayer, together, on our own, with our families, with our friends. Teach us to pray. Thank you, Lord God, for the gift of prayer. Grow us in our prayer life, we pray, this week and as a church family. In Jesus' name, amen.